7. Our text is primarily from chapter 14, 1 through 7, but to get the context, we want to look back all the way to verse 21 in chapter 13. And here this is often called the farewell discourse, or farewell speech, you might say. Jesus here is preparing His disciples for His departure, for His leaving, for His going to heaven. And so He wants to prepare them and give them comfort, recognizing that this will be a troublesome time for them. So let us read these words now, starting at verse 21. Find that on page 900 if you are looking in the provided Bibles. Hear now God's word. After saying these things, Jesus was troubled in His spirit and testified, "Truly, truly, I say to you, one of you will betray Me." The disciples looked at one another, uncertain of whom He spoke. One of His disciples, whom Jesus loved, was reclining at the table at Jesus' side. So Simon Peter motioned to him and asked Jesus of whom He was speaking. So that the disciple who was leaning back against Jesus said to him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, "It is He to whom I give this morsel of bread when I have dipped it." So when He had dipped the morsel, He gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. Then after He had taken the morsel, Satan entered into Him. Jesus said to him, What you are going to do, do quickly. Now no one at the table knew why He had said this to him. Some thought that because Judas had the money bag, Jesus was telling him, "Buy what we need for the feast," or that he should give something to the poor. So after receiving the morsel of bread, He immediately went out, and it was night. When He had gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in Him. If God is glorified in Him, God will also glorify Him in Himself and glorify Him at once. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek Me, and just as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are My disciples, if you have love for one another." Simon Peter said to Him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus answered, "Where I am going, you cannot follow Me now, but you will follow afterward." Peter said to Him, "Lord, why can I not follow You now? I will lay down My life for you." Jesus answered, Will you lay down your life for Me? Truly, truly, I say to you, the rooster will not crow till you have denied Me 3 times. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will take you to Myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to Him, "Lord, we do not know where You are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. If you had known Me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know Him, and you have seen Him." So far our reading in God's Word. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, sin separates. Children, this is a little motto that I had learned when I was young. So it's something that describes to us the consequences of sin. Sin separates. Think about in the Garden of Eden. When Adam and Eve first sinned, what happened? God had to drive them out of that garden. God had to drive them out of the place in which they walked and they talked with Him. They fellowshipped with Him. They had an amazing relationship with Him that was good. And because of sin, they were separated from that fellowship with God. They were separated from the ability to be able to give Him the glory and to speak with Him and receive blessing from Him. And if it were not for the promises given in Genesis 20 through 24, they would have been without hope. If it were not for that promise of that coming offspring of Eve, there would only be death and separation from the fellowship of God. And Jesus here is preparing His disciples as He is about to be separated from them. He is separated because of sin. But He wants to give them the comfort and the hope that even though He is separated from them, this will actually be for their benefit. Through His death, through His resurrection, and even His ascension into heaven, they will have hope and comfort. He will not always be with them physically, and this troubles them, because they see this as a separation from their Messiah, from their Lord. It means that the enemies have won. They no longer are going to be able to fellowship with God in this man. And so they are troubled in spirit. But this separation Jesus wants to portray to them will give them hope for the future. It will remind them that He is preparing a place for them. And so Jesus comforts His disciples by telling them that He is going to prepare a place for them to dwell with Him and the Father. That is our theme this morning. Jesus comforts His disciples by telling them that He is going to prepare a place for them to dwell with Him and His Father. And we will look at this in 3 points. First of all, we will look at that want for comfort or that need for comfort. These words of comfort are needed by the disciples because of the struggles that they will face as the separation occurs. Secondly, we will see those words of comfort that Jesus gives. Thirdly, we will look at how Jesus points to Himself as the way of comfort. But first of all, we look at those hearts of the disciples, for they are in great need of comfort. Jesus has just given these guys many troubling words. He's just told them that one of their very own is going to betray them. One who is sitting at the table with them, fellowshipping with them, and enjoying their company and being with Jesus. One who has walked with them regularly throughout His ministry. One of them is going to betray them. Secondly, He tells them that they are going to be separated from Him. He told the Jews this, that they should seek Him while He might be found. But now He's telling them also, you know what? I'm not even going to be with you always. There's going to be a time in which I'm going to be taken from you. And it's going to look like the enemies have won. But don't worry. Let your hearts not be troubled. And Peter, oh zealous Peter, says to him, well, I'm going to follow you to death. And Jesus said, no, sorry, you're going to deny me. And so these disciples are shocked. Think about it. They've given up everything to follow Jesus. And yet Jesus says He's going to be separated from them. He's no longer going to be with them. How can this be? Have they chosen the wrong man? Have they given up everything for the wrong person, the wrong Messiah? Is this really not God? What hope is for any of them if one is betraying them, one is denying them, the most zealous of them all? How is any of the rest of them going to follow Him? It sure looks like the enemies are going to win. People of God, sometimes our hearts and our faith is troubled by this separation. We feel that God has turned His face from us because we go through these trials and tribulations. A death in the family, a loss of a loved one, a betrayal of a family member, a sickness that we must suffer through. All these things may disquiet and trouble our souls where we cry out to God, "Why have You forsaken me? I've taken my refuge in You. I've given up everything to follow You. But why do You feel so far from me? Why do I not see You? Why do I not fellowship with You? Has the enemy won?" We too need comfort. We too need to hear Christ's words here as the disciples are listening to them now. Because these are the thoughts that troubled the disciples, even though they would be separated from their Lord and Savior because of betrayal and denial and sin. Jesus now gives them words of comfort that God would turn it for their good. And so Jesus gives the disciples hope, gives them words of comfort in a troubling time. But what's so amazing is our Savior here. Because He's seeking to comfort those disciples in a troubling time for them. But think about what He is just about to face. We read in 13:21 that He is troubled in spirit. And even earlier in 12:27, He is troubled in heart. He knows what He's about to face. He's looking at the cup of wrath that He must drink for us and for our sin, that His life would become sin for our sake, that He would suffer the separation from His Father that we should always have to endure. He Himself is troubled in spirit, but He seeks to help His disciples, to comfort them. And so He says, "Let not your hearts be troubled." He says to them, "Even though I am going away, don't let your hearts be troubled. Even though it may look like the enemies have won, don't let your hearts be troubled. In fact, this very separation from Me needs to be the thing that gives you hope, that gives you comfort, because it means that I am going to prepare a place for you. I am going into heaven where My Father dwells, and I am going to renew that connection. By My work, I am going to open that dwelling and fellowship with God once again." Because Jesus must go to the Father. He must ascend into heaven to finish His work. And they need to understand and believe that Jesus is not separated from them because He failed as Messiah. But instead, He is going away to be with His Father to prepare a place for them. And that's what He says in verses 2 and 3. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you?" Jesus is giving His disciples hope. He is saying to them, they will not be separated forever. He will come back again. He is not going to be with the Father all alone. He doesn't go back into heaven to dwell with His Father, to be by Himself. Because there are many rooms. There's lots of space. There's many dwelling places to be with the Father for many people. It's not as if there's no room for you. It's quite the opposite. There's lots of space for people to live with me in my Father's house. And so there will be there is space for them. They need not worry about that, but He also goes there to prepare a place. He's not leaving them behind, neglecting them, forgetting about them. And in fact, next week we look at Pentecost, in which He actually sends His Spirit to be with the people to continually comfort them. But our ultimate goal is to dwell with Him physically. And He goes there to prepare a place for us and for His disciples. So you might ask, what preparations need to be made? Obviously, the rooms are already there. He said that. The rooms are there. So what preparation needs to be done? Jesus still needs to open that way to heaven. Jesus still needs to bring His sacrifice before the Father, as Hebrews 9 verse 12 tells us, that He entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of His own blood, thus securing eternal redemption. He needs to go to heaven, and by means of bringing His sacrifice, He secures that place and prepares that place of eternal life in heaven for us. This is the place where we may dwell with Him forever. And Christ needs to be that first fruits. He needs to dwell there as our head, to remind us and be a guarantee that we too will follow. And that's what the Heidelberg Catechism tells us in answer 49. It says that we have our own flesh in heaven as a sure pledge that He as the head will also take us, His members, up to Himself. And so the Catechism reflects the truth of what Jesus has said here in verse 3. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will take you to myself. It's pretty simple logic. If I'm going to go and prepare this place for you, why would I leave you here forever? If I'm going through all this work, I'm going to come back and I'm going to bring you. I've prepared this place for you to dwell with me and with the Father. I am going to renew that way into heaven to dwell with God. So, people of God, this is a great comfort for the disciples as well as us. What Jesus is saying, that way that was closed, that was guarded by those angels or those cherubim when they were kicked out of Eden, will be restored by Christ. And He is there preparing that place where we may dwell with Him, both body and soul, that we may have fellowship with Him once again, where we can have a home with Him and receive His blessings directly from Him face to face. And we can live with Him in perfect harmony, because He opens that way that was separated. And He does that as He is separated from us. But He opens the way by being separated from the Father's love and receiving that wrath that we deserve. And so then He becomes that way of comfort, our third point. So in verse 4, He tells them, "And you know the way to where I am going." But we might think, well, Jesus seems a little confused here, because Thomas immediately replies and he says, "What do you mean? We don't even know where you're going, let alone the way. You haven't even told us the place, the location. You haven't pointed to the place on the map where you're going. We don't know the road. You haven't given us those directions." But Jesus says to them, no, you do know the way, because you know me. You know me, because I am the way, the truth, and the life. Do you remember Psalm 43, in which we read earlier? This psalmist is disquieted and troubled, recognizing that his soul needs the direction of the Lord. His faith is wavering because the ungodly were accusing him and oppressing him and driving him away from God. And so in verse 3, he prays to the Lord, "Send out your light, your truth. Let them lead me. Let them take me to your holy hill and your dwelling." Jesus is the answer to this prayer. Jesus is the pathway to renewed communion with God. And here Jesus points to that future reality of heaven in which our entire beings will be brought into the Father's house, where we will dwell in unity together. But people of God, the question can still remain: in what way do we go to the Father? How are we to get to Him? How can we have this comfort that Jesus is speaking about? How do we know that we are following the way? How do we know that we are with Jesus? But Jesus tells them, "Believe in God and believe also in me," in verse 1. They must believe what Jesus has spoken here is for them. They must not let these trialing circumstances separate them from God, from faith with Him, in Him, and believing that what He has spoken is true. They must know Him as their Lord and Savior. They must believe in Him as the Messiah, because the Father and Him are of one. And so when they believe and when they know Him, they know the Father, and they know how to go to heaven. So when you come to know Jesus by faith, you know God. And Jesus comes again for us who believe in Him to bring us home to His dwelling place that He has prepared for us, that we see Father. It is such a glorious news and a glorious comfort that we can have. So in conclusion, people of God, sin has separated us from God. And in this life, sins, the flesh, the devil, and the world can plague us from feeling loved by God, because we do deserve His wrath. And in this life, hardships and struggles and jobs and relationships make us feel as if God is not really there or angry with us. But in those hardships and in those struggles, we need to believe the words of Jesus, that He is in heaven preparing a place for us to dwell with Him. That in His Father's house are many rooms, rooms for many to dwell with God, to live with Him as we were made to do. so that we would no longer have disease and suffering and separation from Him. And He is away, working on our behalf in heaven. But we know that He will return one day to bring all of us to Himself in that heavenly dwelling place. So even in the midst of trials and struggles, be comforted by believing the words of Jesus and by faith, knowing the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. Let us pray. God, You are a glorious God. And Lord, we thank You for the reminder that our separation from You, bodily and physically, should not discourage us, but should give us hope that we will one day dwell with You in perfect unity. That we will dwell through that Savior who awaits us in heaven, who is putting all our enemies underneath His feet, that we would no longer be plagued by these things which seek to separate us from You. And so, Lord, please help our faith to grow. Let not our hearts be troubled, and let us rejoice in the place that You have prepared for us in heaven. This we ask in Jesus' name alone. Amen. Let us now turn